Mr. Postman and seven more from Bitcorp. Mr. Postman is another game from Bitcorp, the same company that brought us Bobby's Going Home. I found a loose copy in my collection. As it is a PAL game, I had never played it until I got an Atari 2600 Plus. So now I get to try this one in all its glory. And let me say this right now, it's a doozy. But here's the question, is it worse than E.T.?
Into the vertical line, Generation Atari.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial for the Atari 2600 might not be the best game ever made, but it has a cool title screen, and it offers a complete, albeit short, challenge to be completed. While there are some unfortunate choices, it's mostly bug-free. However, E.T. the Extraterrestrial has been called the worst game ever made, and we just don't believe it. We are here to collect evidence to see exactly where E.T. falls on the bad game spectrum. In this series, we will test other notorious games from the Golden Age and see how they stack up in comparison.
This is Into the Vertical Blanks, Worse Than E.T., Mr. Postman. First, an update about the scoring. After further review and play sessions, I have decided that the Data Age games need to be adjusted. While Encounter at L5 is fun, it's definitely not as good as E.T., so it falls down a notch. Airlock stays in the same place, as does Bugs, but Warplock and Snake are worse than I originally thought, with Snake dropping two places, so both are now joining the Mythicon game in the worser category. Mr. Postman. This is Mr. Postman from Bit Corporation, playing on my Atari 2600 Plus. My first attempt at this game was before I read the manual, and the results are typical of these types of games. I have no idea what to do. At first, the buttons seem to do nothing. Pressing up seems to do nothing. Maybe I go to the right and climb up to that swinging rope? That does not appear to work either. I'm stumped. So next, I go to my favorite Atari preservation site, AtariMania.com, to look for the manual. This is no easy task. As you can see, Mr. Postman appeared in many different collections and in many different languages from lots of different companies. I'm looking for an English language manual from Bitcorp, as I assume they're the original developers. I don't actually need an English manual, as Google Translate can transform any image from one language to another, but it will just make it easier, and I'd rather read the original manual in all its Bitcorp glory. I find the record for the game on AtariMania.com, and the first thing I do is read the back of the box. I do this because the copy on Bitcorp Games is sheer magical poetry. Here it is. A secret, an emergency, or simply a love message that Mr. Postman carefully carries and walks in such a hurry? In this dark, storming night, it is the mighty or the naughty that is throwing down. All his spears and command lightning from the sky. Aha! However, it is still most free to fly. May you give Haim a hand. Mr. Postman is reaching the silent land. A jungle? A tunnel? But who can guess? Is it heaven or hell behind? But still, I have no idea how to play this game. So I try it again. This time I press up when I reach the right-hand side, and aha! I can climb. But that damn bird is a sharpshooter. This game is really hard, but more compelling than Airlock. I climb up, I press left and the fire button to catch the rope, but what do I do when I get to the other end? I die. The next attempt, I by accident fall right onto the bird, but instead of dying, a fanciful tune plays. And I'm transported to the next scene. But what do I do here? I fly around trying to figure it out, but ultimately I can't do much else. I fear I'll never make it to this screen again, as honestly I have no idea how I got here in the first place, besides sheer dumb luck. It is time to read the manual. The manuals of Bitcorp games are almost worth the price of admission, and Mr. Postman is a great example. Game progresses. Mr. Postman's journey includes three progresses. 1. Set out. Direct Mr. Postman go forward or backward by pulling your joystick. Climb up after reaching it. On the way, be careful to avoid the attacking and shooting. Waiting on the top of the tree for a very good chance as the rope is swinging nearer to Mr. Postman, press red button and pushing joystick left to have Mr. Postman go ask for the rope. While swinging the rope, choose another chance to jump on the hawk flying below. Safely landing on the Hawk, Mr. Postman will enter the second progress. So I guess I was supposed to fall on the Hawk. Flying in the storm. Flying in the terrified hailstorm. This is the second screen I was on. Be sure to keep away from the lightning. Press red button to defeat killer birds and crush the hails. The three scenes are included in this progress. Help Mr. Postman to overcome all those attackings. Scene 1. Killer bird, 1 hailstones. Scene 2. 2 killer birds, 8 hailstones. Scene 3. 3 killer birds, 12 hailstones. The City of Silence. Having now entered the City of Silence, Mr. Postman must be extremely careful while going through the street of little space. Only one touch on the side wall, all the previous efforts to go nearer the edge being in vain, for poor Mr. Postman loses one of his chances again. The destination is deep within the Silent City. Try to help Mr. Postman reach it as soon as possible. Your score accumulated is decreased progressively by 10 points in this progress. Remained Mr. Postman. For the whole game, Mr. Postman is allowed 5 fail times. Once he is stricken by an attacking hawk, lightning, killer bird, hailstone, or a touch of the walls, you will lose one of the postmans. If you have none, the game is over. So that is what it says. That third screen sounds so interesting. The Silent City sounds so ominous. Our destination is deep within it. Okay, now I have to try this again. So I start a new game. From the instructions, I gather that I was correct to drop on the bird in the first screen, but it's really hard. I can't seem to do it again. After a few more tries, I do manage to drop on it. It worked when I was all the way to the left of the screen, and I reach screen number 2. But how do I get off screen number 2? Let me read those instructions again. Flying in the terrified hailstorm, be sure to keep away from the lightning. Press red button to defeat killer birds and crush hails. I'm supposed to shoot. This is actually a compelling shooting game. You need to dodge the lightning and shoot the birds and hail. Dare I say, it's even fun. I finally hit the last hail and another screen of harder hail comes. Oh, that's what it meant by 3 screens when I was reading the directions. I do not want to die because I'm sure I'll have to start from the beginning, and I don't want that. I managed to hit the last hail and another screen. Now I'm nervous. I'm sweating a bit. I really want to do this. I want to see what the Silent City looks like. I want to find out how deep into the city I need to finish the game. I try holding down the button and that appears to work. Now I concentrate on dodging. Eventually I get all the hail and then the Silent City. Okay, this is kind of a letdown. It's like that game of Dave and Buster's where you draw the line with your hand, but you can't touch the sides. I'm very, very careful, and luckily, using the emulator, it's pretty easy to be pixel perfect, and I make it to the house on the right and deliver the letter or whatever I was delivering, and then the game restarts. Reception. Dr. Spud's Game Reviews had this to say about Mr. Postman. Mr. Postman is a weird and wonderful game that makes absolutely zero sense the whole time while you're playing. It's an absolute fever dream. He's right. Rick Pryor in Old School Gamer magazine had this to say about Mr. Postman. A lot of developers would have been satisfied creating a game which is one of the stages found in Mr. Postman, and it probably would have been a solid, if unspectacular, game. But BitCorp included 3 and managed to stitch them all together into a more or less cohesive story. Creating a game that is decidedly bizarre, but also diverse and challenging. Consider yourself warned. The first screen is by far the most difficult, often frustratingly so, when you're playing for the first time, or the 50th time, but be patient and stick with it, and you'll be rewarded with one of the most unique gaming experiences in the Atari 2600 library. Other BitCorp games. Honestly, it's hard to tell which games, if any, actually were produced by BitCorporation and which games they just released. It's entirely possible that BitCorporation produced none of these games at all. Many games in the catalog were released under other titles by other companies. For example, Dancing Plate was also Disaster by ZMag. Open Sesame was I Want My Mommy by ZMag. What I can be pretty sure of, though, is that Mr. Postman is made by the same people as Bobby Is Going Home, as it shares much of the same aesthetic. Dr. Spud's Game Review seemed to think that a couple others were made by BitCorporation too, or at least, at the very least, the evidence suggests it. Dr. Spuds. This game reminds me very much of the graphical stylings of Snail vs. Squirrel, Bobby Is Going Home, and the PAL version of Open Sesame, and the PAL version of Disaster Dancing Plates, so it's very likely that this is indeed a BitCorp release, since they really love their bright, colorful, and detailed graphics. So let's take a look at those games too. Snail Against Squirrel. The Snail Against Squirrel manual says this about the game. Would you kindly help a little squirrel whom often you found playing in the woods? I am very, very friendly, squirrel. I swear I never intend to hurt the poor snail. As it becomes colder and colder, I want nothing more than storing some nuts in the caves, lest I should be no more after the winter. but why in the world that greedy snail is always hiding somewhere to rub off my nuts just like those highwaymen. I'm not sure YouTube is going to allow me to say that. See what a dilemma I am involving to keep away from the cunning snail. Should I go on carrying the nut to my cave and gather the newly ripe one? I'm not even going to comment on it. The idea here is that you're supposed to wait until the nuts are ripe, then carry them to the top of the cave while dodging the snail or snails. There's a lot to like about Squirrel vs. Snail. Interesting sounds, nice animation, and very challenging game. There are also two different screens, and it's a manic fight to get all the nuts to the top of the screen. However, the game suffers the same way that Airlock does. It appears that there's a perfect way to play, otherwise you won't finish. Better than Airlock, though, you can see its pedigree with Bobby and Mr. Postman, just not as successful. I did enjoy playing it. Open Sesame. Open Sesame? This is what the manual says about Open Sesame. Open Sesame, have you ever been in a dream that mysterious and exotic world? Imagine that you are a brave, lucky man in ancient Arabia, Alibaba, and now you are on your way to the treasury up on the hilltop. Go up and down, help yourself with ropes. You have to make your way to escape those keen guards. Taking the chance, catch the magic ball. You may defeat every enemy and confront. As long as you go through all the difficulties, you would hear the incredible magic sound, Open Sesame, and a world of imagination comes true. Whoa! This is a platform game where you try to get Alibaba to the top of the screen using ropes. It reminds me a bit of games like Lode Runner and Jumpman. The sprites are exceedingly colorful and well done. The gameplay offers an interesting challenge as you must place all the ropes on each level before you can get to the treasure. It feels like there's a real strategy involved, and I was quite enthralled while trying to finish the first level. I'm impressed with this one. It's certainly better than Airlock and probably Snail Against Squirrel and maybe even Tax Avoiders. Wow, that puts it up on the level with E.T. It also has a voice at the beginning that says Open Sesame, which is pretty cool, which gives it a bonus point or two. That voice also plays when you finish the level. There are some other games I suspect are from BitCorp, but probably not from the same people who had made Bobby's Going Home and Mr. Postman. First, Mission 3000 AD. This is a four-way space shooter that almost works really well. Basically, ships come at you from all sides and you shoot them. This is how the manual describes it. Deep within the galaxy, hide the starbase of unfriendly GT planet. Command your Thunderhawk to seek out the devilish Peacebreaker. This is going to be a hard mission. Affirm courage in your effort to find out the targets. Waves of starfighters would come out and hit you. Your radar chart helps you point out the position of the star bases, and color shower reveals attacking speed of starfighters. Look out! Be keen with both! Your hand and brain never take your eyes away. It's a decent game, but overall disappointing. Someone tried to create a game like Time Pilot and Bosconian, but was not as successful. Sea Monster. This is how the manual describes Sea Monster. As a captain of ships sailing the seas, how would you react if there was no more peace on the seas? Pollution has caused the unknown monsters in the sea which will attack your ships mercilessly. Be a sea lover, of course. You would arm your ship with torpedoes or deep sea bombs and take the mission to destroy three kinds of active sea monsters in the waters of different levels. You get six ships, but be careful. The monsters are extremely tricky. This game is actually pretty generic. The key is that you need to push up on the joystick to start. It's okay, but pretty much standard bargain bin fodder. It's not even as interesting as Air Sea Battle from 1977. Dancing Plate. Here's what the manual for Dancing Plate says. Be careful. Don't break the delicate Chinese china. Would you like to try the traditional Chinese variety? Dancing Plate! Now it's your turn. Have several plates revolve on the top of different wands and keep them all in balance. If any plate falls, rush to catch it. Otherwise, in case of breaking too many plates, it's another turn. This is a game kind of in the vein of Tapper where you must keep plates spinning in the air. It's an okay idea, but not really fun at all, and the constant music is awful. Honestly, it's pretty torturous to play this one. Again, this game was released as Dishaster by Zymag. Phantom Tank. This is how the instruction manual describes Phantom Tank. You can't really see them, but you can feel them. Vicious Phantom Tanks seem to be shadows only. It's because they flicker on the screen, by the way, when you're playing. Yet they seriously threaten the safety of the energy base. You drive around armored car to fight the devils in streets firstly. Then, both of you confront each other in the two sides of the river. If you go through the first two battles, you'll have the decisive tank with the Phantom Tanks on parallel. Try your best. For each battle you won, you would be equipped with one more armored car. See if you can regain the peace of the base. So this is really a very generic maze shooter. There are bad guys you need to shoot, and that's pretty much all there is. This game was released as Tanks But No Tanks by Zymag. Space Tunnel. This is how the manual describes Space Tunnel. In your space explorations, you hope to land on a new planet as soon as possible, yet you enter a space tunnel accidentally, where you are attacked by strange UFO. Always being threatened, always in danger, you would never know or where the UFO would come out and its special sound wave aim at you with mistakes which would bounce back on the side walls of losing aim on the first time. It's a colorful world you entered and a terrible world too. Defend yourself and fire, try your best. This is a four-way vertical shooter through a space tunnel where there is a variety of enemies and some level progression. The things change color when you reach 500 points. It's also generic, but it's better than almost every game from Data Age. Most of these games I can recall seeing and even buying Space Tunnel for $2.99 at KB Toy and Hobby in the bargain bin during, as I've been advised to call it in the comments section from the Mythicon video, not the North American video game crash, the United States and possibly some of Canada, but not necessarily Mexico, video game crash of 1983 and 1984. This game was also released as Cosmic Chasm by Zymeg. Conclusion. There's a definite artistry to some of the BitCorp games. A lot of their games took the various capabilities of the 2600 and created unique experiences, and it puts them close but not quite in the realm of the masters like Activision and Magic. But as a pure experience in gameplay, Mr. Postman is too weird and too frustrating to be graded in the higher levels. The meat of the game is level 2, the shooting level, and it's quite unique. I think they should have taken that level and blown it out instead of trying for three completely different levels that did not really work together. Still, I enjoyed myself. So was it better than E.T.? I'd say no, but it's about on the same level. Open Sesame? Impressive. Probably on the same level as E.T. too. What about Snail Against Squirrel? That game goes right here next to Tax Avoiders, just under E.T. Night Afford Space Tunnel, the same thing. Mission 3000 AD goes on the worst of her line. Though it's quite ambitious, it's just not that good. The same with Dancing Plate, Sea Monster, and Phantom Tank. Still better than Star Fox, but just barely. So that's most of Bit Corporation. Our chart is starting to fill up now, but we are not quite done. Because next time we'll cover a game that could be the worst there's ever. Until next time, remember to ask yourself, is it worse than E.T.? We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.